a noted SIU alum and behavioral psychologist, will give a free presentation on Friday, April 12th at 2 p.m. at the Heron City Library. Dr. Gary Jackson, a Heron native, will be speaking on the themes of his most recent book titled Surviving Mass Victim Attacks, What to Do When the Unthinkable Happens. And he recently talked with WSIU Radio about what he has learned in the decades that he has been involved with working with agencies like the CIA and the U.S. Secret Service. To write the book, with the proliferation of the Internet, the ability of free information was a big help.
You know, one thing we find, I use open source information to a great extent. I've used classified information, but I find open source information to be superior, far superior. So the information is out there to understand how these attacks occur, what causes them to occur, when they might occur, but you have to collect it in such a way that you can analyze it to pull out the key principles. And applied behavior analysis gives you those principles, but you end up doing it manually, which can be very time intensive, to pull out the precursors, which we call antecedents, and with the behavior that follows those precursors, and then what happens afterwards. And I have to use all three, and so my technology does that automatically.
The big reason for the book, Dr. Jackson says, to save lives.
Well, we try. I've been talking about these approaches for, oh my gosh, probably 20 years now. And then I decided I need to put this in book form so that people can pick it up, refer to it, and not just hear, you know, a 20-minute talk and go back and study it in terms of looking at how you protect yourself, your family, and that was the goal. The goal was basically, to be honest, my vision was someday I'll be looking on TV, seeing an attempt at an attack or an attack, and somebody says, I read this book, and it helped save my life. That's why I wrote the book. And we're just starting to work to get the word out on a documentary that's based on the book that we're trying to get across to, you know, popular television series so that we can spread the word even more. So we're dedicated to doing this in a number of different ways.
Dr. Jackson says you simply should be aware of your surroundings when you're out in public. Let's say, for example, you're in the mall. What do you look for?
We have to keep in mind that wherever you are, first of all, the only commonality among all attacks is there's a group of people. That's the only commonality. It doesn't matter if you're in church. We've had houses of worship, temples, synagogues. We've had malls. We've had many places of business. Wherever there's a group, there could be an attack, and we can't think, okay, you know, we live in Iowa or Illinois, and that's not like New York City, so we're not likely to get attacked. That's not the case.
Gotcha.
Because of the categories of attackers. So let's take your example. You're in a mall, and you see someone acting unusual. It might be a warm summer day, and this guy's wearing a coat. Why is he wearing a coat? Well, they could be hiding weapons. And there's a strange look he has on his face. When there's an attack or getting ready to an attack, he, I'll say or she, but it's mostly he, will have a look of desperation on, they're going to die. They're prepared for that. More than half of these cases end up in suicide at the end of the act, or they get killed,
right,
apprehended. So they know this is the end in one way or the other. The chances of escape are almost zero. So they look determined. They look different than people. If you're in a restaurant, people are happy, you know, having meals, or they're in a bar, they're drinking, and here's this somber guy walking in that doesn't look part of it. Okay, that's the first tip.
Right.
Something could be wrong. Now, you should have already looked where the exits are, just normal course of events. You walk in a place, okay, it takes me 10 seconds. Where are the exits? Where are the windows I could break if I had to? And then I can enjoy my meal, but I have a plan.
Sure.
So in a mall, and this is not unusual, people come in through major entrances and exits. There are two or three. And if there's a problem, and some of those problems have been made up of mass victim attacks, there could be others, they start running back to those major entrance and exits. Well, they might be standing right next to a store. Okay, stores are great because almost every store in a mall, if you drive around the back of a mall, you'll see a bunch of back doors. So you run in the nearest store, it provides ample opportunity for hiding while you're on your way to escape through the back door, and you leave out that mall from the closest route possible. Your main goal is to escape, always.
And through his research on mass attacks, including the Boston Marathon bombing, Jackson also found out things not to do.
And you hear some bad advice sometimes, like just drop and stay in place. Okay, that's not good advice.
Right.
So the way I describe it in the book, it's escape, number one, hide as a way of escaping, stay in place, which is rare. You only do that if there's a small-scale bombing, because if you just run, you might run into a second bombing, which happened at the Boston Marathon.
Yeah, that's right.
Or, in the last resort, you attack back. And attack back isn't, okay, I'm going to be macho and fight this guy. He's going to kill you. So you have to go for vulnerable spots. And even in a mall or an open place, and there's an attack, you can be carrying, and I recommend personal protection devices such as pepper spray.
Sure.
Small little container, not much bigger than a tube of lipstick, can squirt 15 feet and can totally debilitate a person if it's in the face. And it's legal to carry it. So you have to check on your own state's laws, which I stress, and especially travel. You can't carry those things on a plane. But,
right.
You know, there are things you can do that if you're really in a bad state of affairs, you can attack back. But the goal, really, is to escape. And the definition of escape is leaving a place of danger to a place of safety.
Sure.
To want. So in all of these events, I saw many, many, many cases where people were fortunate enough to escape. But it tells us many times they're near an exit when an attack occurs. So they run out the exit. What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Get your exits, know where they are, and be close to them.
If you're in a place where a mass shooting is taking place, there are also two things that Dr. Jackson says which may at first seem like a good idea, but according to his research, doing these things have actually cost lives in the past.
I have to say something because we've had a lot of, I've seen some bad information out there about plain dead. We have to be very careful with that. You know, if a mass victim attacker approaches a closed setting, such as a nightclub or a restaurant or whatever, he starts shooting, and he's shooting over on the right, and someone on the left falls on the floor and acts like they're dead. He knows he hasn't shot over there, okay? So you're just giving him time to come over there.
Yeah.
And get you. So be cautious with those kinds of tactics where you just stay in place, unless I say it's a small-scale bombing. Your goal is to get out of there immediately. Another tip, and this is really important, don't run to the bathroom and close the door.
Ah.
At these events, they found multiple fatalities in restrooms because they don't have back doors. Running into a trapped area, and that shooter, if he stays alive, is going to get to those trapped areas. It's just a matter of walking around. These events don't take 2 seconds or 10 seconds. The Pulse nightclub attack that killed so many in Orlando went on for 3 hours. 3 hours. So don't count. That's why escape is so important as opposed to hiding. Mm-hmm. This guy even went around many times shooting the same people over and over again just to make sure everybody was dead. So escape, escape, escape is the most important thing.
Dr. Jackson's free public presentation is sponsored by the Heron Area Historical Society. And he adds, don't make the threat of violence keep you cowering indoors.
But I think we have to always remember, and I go back to a really good question you asked, should we be fearful of going to public places? No, I go to public places all the time. The worst thing in the world would be that we just stay at home. But we can be prepared. You know, we can have the equivalent of the seatbelt in the car or the seatbelt in the airliner. We can just be prepared in a much better way. No tips of survival. Do some proactive things and our probability of survival is going to increase.